Pastor John Hagee has been in the news since his endorsement of Senator John McCain. Let's get back to Terry's 2006 interview with Hagee, the interview from which his comment about Hurricane Katrina was excerpted. Hagee is the founder of Christians United for Israel.
You opposed the roadmap for peace, which required land for peace. You've said that giving up the West Bank or part of Jerusalem violates the word of God. How does it?
Joel 3:2 says, "Do not do it. Those who divide up the land of Israel will come under the judgment of God. Therefore, don't do it." It's just that simple.
What about Israelis who want a practical solution to living in peace in the Middle East and who believe that land for peace might be a viable, perhaps the only really viable solution? Would you say you can't do that because of what the Bible says?
No. No, I'm not saying I'm forcing my beliefs on you, but look at it from a basic analysis of common intelligence. You only do something because it benefits you. You negotiate something because you get something from the negotiation. Show me one time in Israel's history in the past 58 years when giving land has brought them peace, and I'll say that they would have a point in logic. But at this point in time, they've given away Jordan, they've given away the Sinai Peninsula, they have given away Gaza, they have backed out of Lebanon. It has benefited them not one iota. It hasn't brought them one day of peace. It has brought them nothing but additional military confrontation. We've given these land bases away to become nothing but a base for global terrorism 1,000 yards from the walls of Jerusalem.
Would you like to convince American Christian groups that Israel should be a more important part of their agenda?
I would like to convince American Christians that they have a Bible mandate to support Israel, to pray for Israel, to speak up for the peace of Israel, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and to be of blessing to the Jewish people, because that is the biblical mandate that we have. We may have a political difference with the prime minister, and I have made this very clear to Prime Minister Olmert. I wrote him a letter shortly after he was elected and wished him well and told him that he was be in my prayers and in my thoughts, and I wished him every success, and this was before the war began. But I said in that letter very specifically that I must disagree with your policy of giving land away to the terrorist organizations, and he has a political philosophy that disagrees with the biblical position that we have, and we'll just agree to disagree. But meantime, we're going forward, we're doing everything that we can to benefit the people of Israel, to bless the people of Israel, because they are in fact the nation.
Pastor John Hagee from a 2006 interview with Terry Gross. Hagee is the founder of Christians United for Israel and has been in the news lately following his endorsement of Senator John McCain. We'll hear more of this interview in the second half of the show. I'm David Bianculli, and this is Fresh Air. I'm David Bianculli, sitting in for Terry Gross. Let's get back to Terry's 2006 interview with Pastor John Hagee, the founder of the group Christians United for Israel, also known by its acronym KUFI. In addition to lobbying elected officials, KUFI educates Christians on what KUFI's website describes as the biblical and moral imperatives of supporting Israel. Pastor Hagee believes that the rebirth of Israel is one of the signs that the second coming of Jesus is imminent. Hagee has been in the news since his endorsement of John McCain. Many news publications and TV shows have quoted Hagee's statement that Hurricane Katrina was God's judgment against the city of New Orleans for a gay pride parade that was about to be held. The statement is from Terry's interview with Hagee, which we're rebroadcasting today. Here's another excerpt from one of Pastor Hagee's sermons, included in his collection, Jerusalem, Countdown to Crisis.
For those of you who are in Washington, Jerusalem is not up for negotiation with anyone for any reason at any time in the future, regardless of what your roadmap for peace calls for. There are people in this nation who still believe the Bible takes precedent over Washington, D.C.
Pastor Hagee, if you believe that the Bible takes precedence over Washington, D.C., I would assume maybe you'd think the Bible takes precedence over the Israeli government as well. If you use the Bible as the basis of policy, is there any room for compromise? And if you use the Bible as the basis for policy, then should Muslims be using the Quran as the basis of their policy? And again, what possible room for compromise is there at that point?
There's really no room for compromise between radical Islam.
I'm not talking about radical Islam. I'm just talking about Islam in general.
Well, Islam in general, those who live by the Quran have a scriptural mandate to kill Christians and Jews. Now, I had an Islamic on my television show last week. His name is Waleed Shubat. He was raised as a Palestinian terrorist and at one time was placed a bomb around himself and was supposed to walk into a bank. And I said, Waleed, I'm trying to understand the definition of what is a radical Islamic person, because I've read many books, many magazines, and I can't come up with a good definition of what constitutes a radical Islamic. And he says these words, and I'll quote them. He said, anyone who truly believes the Quran is willing to kill Christians or Jews. That's waging jihad. He said, now, those people who are willing to go into another country and start a war will only be about 15 to 20% of Islam. There are 1.3 billion people who follow the Islamic faith. So if you're saying there's only 15% that want to come to America or invade Israel to crush it, you're only talking about 200 million people. That's far more than Hitler and Japan and Italy and all of the Axis powers in World War II had under arms. That is a massive number of people. So while we may define radical Islam as a minority because there are so many, it is still an overpowering military potential.
But what you said is that all Muslims have a mandate to kill Christians and Jews. Do you believe that?
Well, the Quran teaches that. Yes, it teaches that very clearly.
So for you, there's absolutely no way of tolerating Islam at all. I'm not talking about extreme Islam. I'm just talking about the Muslim religion.
Well, there are Islamics who want peace, but they don't have center stage right now. And whenever Islam, radical Islam, does things that make the headlines, like getting on a bus with a bomb strapped around them and killing people, the moderates do not speak up because they're afraid that they will be killed by the radicals. So it gives the appearance that there are no moderate Islamic people. I've been to Israel 21 times. I've gone to visit Islamic people who I consider to be peaceful. They want peace as much as I do, and they're terrified. The particular businessman that I talked to has sent his 5 children to California because he's afraid that he will be burned out of his business because he's not extreme enough. And he asked me if I would pray with him, but would I please come into his office, shut the door, and put the blind down before I did so, because he's afraid of being seen in any kind of an association with a Christian. Now, that's not what you call an environment of tranquility.
Are there wars in the Middle East prophesied in the Bible, do you think, before the rapture and the second coming?
The Bible makes a very general statement that there will be wars and rumors of wars. And then in another instance, it refers to the wars as being like a woman who is in the process of having a baby. In other words, where the contractions began, and once the contractions began in these series of wars, just as in having a baby, the contractions become more severe until the baby is born, so will the contraction, so will these military wars become more severe before the end of the age. So I believe that we have entered into this point of time and where there will be one war that follows another, and each one of them will be more severe than the other until we finally reach the Battle of Armageddon, where there is a massive military entourage fighting for global supremacy in the Middle East.
I just want to ask you one question based on one of your sermons that and this isn't about Israel. You said after Hurricane Katrina that it was an act of God. And you said when you violate God's will long enough, the judgment of God comes to you. Katrina is an act of God for a society that is becoming Sodom and Gomorrah reborn. Do you still think that Katrina is punishment from God for a society that's becoming like Sodom and Gomorrah?
All hurricanes are acts of God because God controls the heavens. I believe that New Orleans had a level of sin that was offensive to God, and they were recipients of the judgment of God for that. The newspaper carried the story in our local area that was not carried nationally, that there was to be a homosexual parade there on the Monday that the Katrina came. And the promise of that parade was that it was going to reach a level of sexuality never demonstrated before in any of the other gay pride parades. So I believe that the judgment of God is a very real thing. I know that there are people who demur from that, but I believe that the Bible teaches that when you violate the law of God, that God brings punishment sometimes before the day of judgment. And I believe that the Hurricane Katrina was in fact the judgment of God against the city of New Orleans.
So I know you're very opposed to homosexuality, but you think that the whole city was punished because of things like the forthcoming gay pride parade.
This is true. All of the city was punished because of the sin that happened there in that city.
You've said that we could get raptured any second. In one of your sermons, you basically said we could get raptured before the sermon is even over. What are you doing to prepare?
I'm doing what I do every day. I live right. I read the Bible. I pray. I try to treat other people like I would like to be treated. And I'm going to leave the rest to the grace of God.
And do you still believe it's imminent?
Oh, I do. I do. I do. I do.
And by imminent, any second, any moment?
I would not be at all surprised if I saw the Lord before the day ended today. But if he doesn't come today, 10 years from now, I'll be looking for him with the same intensity.
Pastor Hagee, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you for the opportunity.
John Hagee is the founder of Christians United for Israel and the pastor of Cornerstone Church, a megachurch in San Antonio. His interview with Terry was recorded in 2006. Since the part about Katrina has been quoted in so many places, we thought you'd like to hear the entire interview.